This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. In-depth conversations about current Roaring Fork Valley issues with the reporters who know them best. I'm Kristen Kay. It's May 9th. The Roaring Fork River through Aspen is surging as the snow melts in the high mountains. And what Valley resident doesn't love the river right now? We bike beside it on the Rio Grande Trail, fish, kayak, and raft in it, or just sit beside it for a few quiet moments. The river's rushing waters during spring runoff are actually kind of deceptive, though. Low flows in the section of the Roaring Fork that flows through Aspen have state and local officials concerned. And while we hear a lot about the importance of a healthy river, follow-through is sometimes a little lacking, as we're about to hear. Aspen City officials are trying to put together some creative ideas to improve the condition of this section. That would mean that Aspen is sending a stronger river to all the communities below it, Basalt, Carbondale, Glenwood, and ultimately to the Colorado. Environment reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy has been following the issue. I sat down with her and asked her the impetus for the plan.
Well, a few things. First of all, the Roaring Fork River is listed as impaired or unhealthy by the state of Colorado because the aquatic life, so the insects and such, are not doing as well as the state says they should be. Also, year after year, Aspen citizens in surveys say that a healthy river is one of their main concerns. So city officials are responding to that. But then again, there was an open house meeting last month and only three people showed up. So The city is trying to figure out why there's this discrepancy where people rank it as a top concern, but then don't show up for the public process. And April Long, who's in charge of this process, thinks perhaps maybe it's because it's not really controversial because everybody wants a healthy river.
Okay, well, what are the factors impacting the river?
So the city's identified three main causes. The areas along the riverbank, which are called riparian areas, have been degraded. So think about the natural riverbank being replaced by things like manicured lawns. Stormwater runoff from Aspen's core carries pollutants into the river, but the city has really dealt with that. They've built new wetlands and really worked on that problem. And then also, we see some really low flows during dry periods on the river. So this plan is likely to focus primarily on those low flow issues.
So what does that mean? What is a low flow?
Well, the state of Colorado says that to protect the health of the river, the fish and the insects and everything else, there needs to be 32 cubic feet per second flowing through town. We don't always have that much water. In fact, even in average and above average years, we dip below that number fairly regularly in the later summer months. So in addition, April, who's heading up this river plan, told me that her team will be looking at whether that number, that 32 cubic feet per second in stream flow, is sufficient to protect the environmental health of the river.
So how often are we below the state mandated in-stream flow?
In a median year, there are 88 days, or roughly 12 weeks, where the stream flow in the Roaring Fork below the Salvation Ditch drops below 32 cubic feet per second, which is that state-mandated level. That information comes from Phil Overinder, who is the utilities engineer for the city of Aspen, and a report from the Colorado Water Trust. There are some interesting charts that show some of this information that I'll put up on our website as well. In an above average year, we have some days where we don't, where the river is not flowing at that 32 cubic feet per second. But where it's really striking is in a critically dry year. In 2002 is the model used for this. We pretty much don't come close to 32 cubic feet per second for most of the month of July, all of August, and all of September. We don't even approach 32 cubic feet per
second. Most of summer.
Yeah, most of the summer months. We're really dry and it's really low.
Wow. So we do have drought years. Obviously, that means the river will be lower. But what else causes low water levels?
Well, diversions are a big factor here. So a lot of the water that would naturally flow into the Roaring Fork is sent through tunnels to the Front Range. We have the fifth largest transbasin diversion in the state that sends water from a few watersheds up Independence Pass through a tunnel into Twin Lakes and then onto communities like Colorado Springs and Aurora. There are also a few more diversions closer to town on our side, including one that the city uses called the Wheeler Ditch and another, the Salvation Ditch, that diverts water from the Stillwater area to McLean Flats.
So those diversions happen because other entities own that water. Is there anything the city can do about those water rights?
So that's a big part of this process, is looking into what options the city might have to deal with these water rights. There are some interesting sort of complex out-of-the-box options that the city will look at with water rights, like potentially trading rights and other things like that. Also, the city doesn't always take all the water that it could out of the Wheeler Ditch. It's called a non-diversion agreement. So in low-flow years, the city doesn't pull all that water into the diversion. Instead, it allows that water to remain in the river. And they could look at encouraging other entities to do something similar. So there's this cliche in Colorado water law that you hear a lot, where people say, use it or lose it with water rights. But it's not always the case, and non-diversion agreements could potentially keep more water in the river. It could be a long shot, and Long says it's just one example of out-of-the-box thinking that could help the Roaring Fork.
All right, what other ideas are on the table?
They're looking at physical improvements to the river. So, for example, when the wetlands at North Star flood in May and June, it can help recharge the groundwater. And then that groundwater returns to the river later in the summer, in months like July and August, when the flows are naturally lower. So it might help, potentially, to physically change the riverbank in that area so that it overtops and floods more often. And that's just one example, just one thing that the city's kind of looking at or playing with to see, would this actually help keep more water in the river more often? And the city's has just assembled a group to tackle some of the technical elements of this to put more ideas on the table.
What's the city's timeline for this?
Well, April says they really want public involvement. So there's a survey up on the Aspen Community Voice website. The technical advisory group plans to meet later this month, and then work is going to continue through the summer with the goal of having prioritized options by September.
This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. That was Elizabeth Stewart Severy, our environment reporter. The Roaring Fork River through Aspen is listed as impaired, and Aspen City officials are developing a plan to improve its health. They are asking for community feedback through the end of the month. You can check out those charts Elizabeth mentioned that show how many times we fall below the state recommended in-stream flow mark on our website now. They're pretty striking. While you're there, you can also read up on more reporting that she's done on the city plan to improve the health of the river. Just go to aspenpublicradio.org and search for Roaring Fork. Here's what else is going on in your valley. New graduates from Colorado Mountain College received their diplomas this past weekend. Commencement ceremonies were held on both Friday and Saturday. This year included a notably high-profile lineup of speakers who delivered the commencement addresses, including Aspen Institute CEO Walter Isaacson and Governor John Hickenlooper. And the runoff election for an Aspen City Council seat between Tory and Ward Hauenstein is set for June 6th. Hauenstein outraised all other council candidates this year with a total of $9,014. Unregistered voters have until May 15th to get their information into the city clerk. Eligible voters must live in the city at least 22 days prior to the June 6th election. Absentee ballots can be requested online through June 2nd. You've been listening to The Dial. I'm Kristen Kay. To hear more extended interviews or to listen to more local programs like Valley Roundup or Curated, go to aspenpublicradio.org.